Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Lift your hands and give the Lord praise from the depth of your heart. Go ahead, do it well. Bless the name of the Lord. Let everything within you bless Him. We give you praise, Father. Unto you will all praises come. Go ahead. Bless you, Jesus. Now lift your voice and bless the Lord for Sphere of Light Church. And thank Him specifically for this house. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. All right, please be seated. Good morning, church. Let's turn our Bibles, Book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2, I start the reading from verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, these things says he that holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. And have borne, and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Now, where I'm teaching from is verse 5. Remember the height from whence you are fallen, and repent and do your first works. Is that the same word in your Bible? Amen. It takes being on a great height to have a great fall. I want to teach you on the lessons from the fall of the devil. Lessons from the fall of the devil. Now, Isaiah 14 verse 12. So when Jesus was writing to the church, and he says, remember from whence you are fallen. It was in respect to something that has happened before. In fact, other renditions will say, remember how you have fallen, that Lucifer fall. Who can give me that scripture quickly? Isaiah chapter number 14. We start the reading from verse 12. The scripture started with a question. And the question is a very serious one. And the question is, how? The question is what? What's the first question here? How? Have you seen people do stuff? And you look at their level. The question on your mind is not why. You ask why when you don't understand what will make the fellow do it. But you ask how when it is unreasonable. How did you do it? When you hear stories like a man sleep with his daughter, you don't ask him why. What do people ask? How? When you hear story of a man of God sleeping with men, but do you ask why? What do people ask? How did you get here? How art thou fallen from heaven? That's the first question. Heaven is not supposed to be a place people should fall from. Nobody should fall from heaven. How did you manage to fall under the governmental influence of God? How did you manage to fall beholding His glory? How can a man see all these things and still fall? So that's the question. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Before I begin to give you illustrations, let's do scriptures. How art thou cut down to the ground? Which deeds weaken the nations? Verse 13 now. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. 14 now. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who is the Most High? Amongst the Trinity, who is the Most High? Because you've got to be able to answer this question. Because he's saying, I will be like someone. You know, the individual is part of the Godhead. But if you don't understand who, amongst the Godhead, then you don't even understand the great fight in the first place. Because Psalms 91 verse 1 says that he that dwells in the secret place of who? The Almighty shall abide under the shadow. Secret place of who? The Most High. Shall abide under the shadows of who? The Almighty. So who is the Most High? Well, if you understand the patterns of God, you understand that the Most High must have first and foremost been the Most Low. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's start reading from verse. Let's start from verse 7. Ephesians 4. Just a minute. Are you there? Now let's start reading from verse 9. Okay, no. Let's start from verse 8. Ephesians 4, let's start from verse 8, please. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Yes, 9. Now this is the protocol of God. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. So the Most High is the one who has descended and has now ascended to obtain a name that is higher than any other name. That's the Most High. That's the person of Jesus. So if you go back to that book of Isaiah chapter number 14. And he said, I want to be like the Most High. Are you there? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like who? Who's that? Now verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now, what I want to help you do this morning is to help you think about the things you've been ignoring. All right? Can you imagine what this world, what this earth would have been without the devil? How many of you have thought about it before? Huh? It will have been a paradise as God designed it to be. A place of his beauty, splendor, and glory. That's what it would have been. Now, let's think about a few things. Consider the number of children that have been aborted yearly. Look at the way they are fighting America for abortion. And I kept seeing lawmakers saying they are fighting for their fundamental human rights. And you ask, what is this fundamental human right? The right to take another life. Oh God. And many of them were even arrested for protesting against what the Supreme Court has said. And they were so proud to post their pictures on Twitter. Now, you too, you may not know you can fight for it until you have been westernized. You know, many Nigerians leave Nigeria, go to America and start speaking Iwana. Keep quiet, Ijebunia. If you like, change your name to Mark Stone. It does not change the demons fighting from your father's house. And you just wonder. Take a look at terrorism. The millions of souls that died. The billions of souls that have died, not because they lived to a full ripe age, but because somebody snatched their lives. Sometimes you go to places and find out that somebody is coming back from work at night and somebody has collected a laptop and stabbed the person. There was a girl that was killed like that some 2 years ago. Promising girl, going somewhere to happen. Somebody wanted to collect the laptop as if that's not enough, and then stabbed down the neck. Last year, a medical doctor was going to our loot area, was trying to do a few things. Somebody collected his phone and all that, as if collecting the phone was not enough, also stabbed him on the neck. Where is all this evil coming from? But the issue is that to look at the chaos. Yesterday, I saw a picture online somewhere in China. Some of their rural areas of how men had to devise means to climb mountains to harvest honey. I said, this cannot be what God intended from the beginning. And to assume, to now see that the fellow who has brought this chaos was somebody that it was God who anointed him. It's called the Lucifer Fall. So when you have seen that kind of glory, when you have seen that kind of beauty, when you have seen that kind of splendor, when you have seen that kind of honor, when you have seen that kind of might, when you have seen that kind of power, if you fall from that level, the question is how? How suggests that it should be investigated? Because the question how does not point to a reason, it points to method. What were the methods, what were the stages he went through gradually to arrive here? How? When I look at all of you, do you know what I pray for the most? Do you know that you will not fall? Let me tell you why you must not overrate yourself. No matter your level of spirituality now, you are not as spiritual as the devil was before he fell. You are not. You are not as hot as he was before he fell. The Bible said he walked upon the coals of fire. I pray for all of you again. You will not fall. Sit down. So how did he fall? Because that's the same word, that's the same warning that Jesus warned the church. Alright, he said, listen, you have to remember the height from whence you fall. You know, before people fall, in fact, the first thing that happens before anybody falls, I have my daughter, for instance. If you put her on a chair and she wants to get down, she gets down without caution. Why? There's been only a few times when she's falling down. Daddy is always there, mommy is there, someone is there to hold her and help her. Are you following what I'm saying? I, for one, even though that she's a girl, it's something I will do. Put her on the chair, step back, fall down once or twice, put her there, then have sense. Simple. It's training. Well, it's a girl. She may not allow me to carry her for some weeks. So I don't want that to happen. People fall because they don't respect height. They don't respect it because they don't think it is high. I'm going to explain. Amen. Are you following what I'm teaching? People fall because they don't respect what? Height. Some are not aware. We could go the entire year on this subject. So, the Bible that when a man comes to the place of honor, but does not understand it, when a person is placed on an height, but it looks casual, there are many reasons why it can be casual. I'm going to explain. So when a man comes to the place of honor, but understandeth it not, Scripture says that the fellow is like a beast. Not just a beast that is going to perish. So, there are many reasons people don't understand that where you are is an height. One of those reasons is comparison. Compare themselves with someone else, and then they lose what they have. Compare themselves with somebody they feel is higher, and then they lose respect for what they have. Comparison. Another reason people don't
see
the height they are standing in is that they have wrong perspective, wrong perception about themselves. They never feel convenient until they have become like somebody or like something. Sometimes until you have certain kind of money, until you have certain kind of clothes, until you look certain kind of way. And that's why you can see a good girl have a bad girl who is a roommate, but the bad girl has more clothes. And the good girl knows that she's getting this money from men she's sleeping with. And if she doesn't understand that where she is standing, though without sophisticated clothes is an height, she's going to fall. Sometimes the one who is standing on the higher pedestal, when it comes to physical observation, looks like the one who is the lowest. Sometimes the one who is standing, really standing, does not look like it. I can go on and on and on. Huh? Let me give you another instance. Do you know there was a time in your life that you were not this afraid of being alone in the house? You know why? Because you will spend time with God and they will come into your house and worship and cry all tears. But from the moment a part of your prayer got answered, now it's so bad, you are even afraid of being alone. I'm going to teach you on a topic soon titled Open That Window. Of course, some of you are falling the Lucifer fall. How do you know? You no longer walk on the coals of fire. The coals of fire are purging stones. Those stones are also what was referred to by Ezekiel as the coals of fire. They are, if you walk on it, it reveals your intentions. It makes it manifested. The moment believers begin to run away from any word, any teaching that reveals the hidden sin in their heart, they have stopped walking on the coals of fire and they are about to experience the Lucifer fall. I'm trying to shrink a lot of things in a very short time and make it in respect to our day-to-day work. I pray for all of you again in the name that is above all names. You will not fall. I say again, you will not fall. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Let's start reading from verse 1. Look at this scripture keenly. So this scripture is a parable, more like a lamentation. So many of the things that are used in this scripture are figurative. Is that okay? And I'm going to tell you the meaning of quite a few because we're not going into the exegesis of this. Just pay attention. 28 from verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, yes, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyros, thus says the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up And thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God. In the midst of the seas. The word seas there means people. Yet thou art man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So really this prince, this really existed. More like the person of Nebuchadnezzar who was saying is that, oh, look at Babylon, which my great strength has built. But because something, what he was doing, matched the DNA of exactly what the devil did. How he was thinking matched the blueprint of exactly the process the devil went through to become what he is. Everything he was doing, step for step, was the same step the devil took. So, in the spirit realm, they're identical twins. So you can use the name of this guy and the devil in describing the process interchangeably. What the devil does most times is to set you in a sequence where you match the exact process, protocol, method, and steps of somebody he wants destroyed. Once he sets you in the sequence, he leaves you to auto-destruct. That God will open your eyes. You know how high the devil was and how low he is now. You will never think you have come too far to fall. You will never think certain things are impossible in your life. I'm trying to just teach. So this guy was doing word for word. Step for step, protocol for protocol, method for method, sequentially. If I'm going to ask you a question at this junction, it will be, whose footsteps are you taking? No, there's somebody in history who must have thought and have done the things you are doing. And you need to know where the person ends. Or ended before you believe that you'll be different. Let me say this to you. I studied the move of God and studied the body of Christ. I never saw any man without prayer life live long. I'm telling you a personal study I found out that the moment getting your prayer life right is a battle for your life. Let me just leave it there. I've not found. So what the devil does is that it tells you that you can fail the caucus and pass the electives. And God will use you on the basis of the electives and you stand strong. If you know the millions that start ministry compared to the few tens who will stand at the end of the day as fathers, it is they that overcome, sir. Let's leave it. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyros, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am God, and I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not God. Though you set your heart like the heart of God, verse 3 now, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. So there's no secret they can hide from you. It is unlikely for somebody who is not gifted to fall. Because gifted people trust in the power of their gift. When you don't have much, you have nothing else to fall back to than God. What I'm teaching you is that his endowment can be your way out. And you just walk out of him. Now, listen, before you write, there is an aspect of ministry where because you have done it for long, even when you don't pray and fast, and when you don't study, you still have a message that is very organized. There's an aspect of ministry that miracles, signs, and wonders can still happen. If you believe the theology now, that the moment you are not doing all those things, you will not be able to function well. You are exactly where you need to be to fall. Because when you are no longer doing them and everything is still flowing, you will believe you are sponsored by a form of grace that is unique to you. So the devil has told you to fall and you are falling already. So know it early. That what you do consistently becomes a flow. Consistency attracts a spirit to be in charge of the activity. And the activity can continue without God. But just that, a time is coming, the grace will still be available, but the man under it has self-destructed himself. He can't wield it for long. But what he's carrying is still much more for him to wield. But he can't endure that long. What I'm saying is that you can expire before your anointing. I don't even know how this scripture eluded me. Is it Proverbs now? I know it was supposed to be one of the words of Solomon that says that there's a way. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it, the end of it are the ways of death. So what we lose sight of most times is that the way is actually narrow. And what looks right unto man that scripture is talking about here is not another way. That's not what looks right unto man. What looks right unto man is that what ought to be narrow start becoming wider. It's not another way. It's still, but for instance, between you and where you are going, a chain walk of different concentrations is a narrow path. What that means is that, this is the path that is chiseled that for people who are going to this kind of destination, you are not the first, you are not going to be the last. Everyone who has sojourned in this journey must pass through this same consecration, this. Why? Because the enemy that fight those going through this path is the same. These are the things he brings. So as long as you are going here, this is what you are going to face. This consecration takes them before you encounter the devils. If you make it wider, there is a way of death. So, many of you are vying for things. You don't know the devil that fight those who vie for it. You know, I called one of our friends, and it was one of the first things I told my wife. I called her, and I said, "I have studied some things in the body of Christ." And I said, "This is the result of my findings. That when God anoints the wife of a pastor, she should discern, particularly if the man is a man who is big in the secret place than he is publicly. She should discern what God wants to do with his voice. Because all who have failed to died." Then people started paying attention to the man. I said, it is finding. And I don't have scriptural backup. I just found out. And I have several findings like that. So I said, God is going to use you. Be careful. So you don't know that you can marry somebody that if you don't discern the grace, he kiss you. Okay, let's leave that. Let's not say I'm teaching errors. Sorry. I was counseling a minister yesterday. Sent me a message in the morning. I didn't reply till night because I went to God for specific word for him. So God spoke to my heart and I called him. And somewhere along the conversation, I said to him, what I'm about to tell you now, I will forget. But in the next 10 years, if you pass the test of this season, you will stand beside me on a podium and remind me of this conversation. But how would I have forgotten? And as I told him that, I saw the word go out and stayed. Now, that word has gone into 10 years. I don't even know what this person looks like. But the word went in a straight line and you've got to follow the pattern to arrive there. If you broaden it, you arrive somewhere else. It is not everywhere people get to that is their destination. Let me tell you something before I release those in Lagos and Ife. You know, I was sharing with my family this morning as we're coming down. There are things you don't have to shout about. Oh, in Nigeria. I pray God opens your understanding. We don't want Muslim ticket. Khan spoke. We are not going to endorse it. They tried to frame Pastor here at the boy. He removed his head. I am under the authority of Khan and PFN. Whatever they say, that's my position. You know, a wise man is too slow for a foolish man. Then we saw pictures and videos. Wait. Of some bishops. And in the meeting, they put them at the gallery. Bishops, while imams were down. But you notice only one person granted the interview. Because that one person actually is a pastor. And what he did was that he shielded the rest. You can trace that one person and say, this is his church. The rest, they were tracing them to mechanical and other diseases. Nigeria. What scripture did that one person have? We preach love. Huh? How fantastic does that sound? Very perfect. Beautiful. Is love not powerful? Powerful. Should we preach love? Yes. The rest of us, what are we, haters? But there's a principle that is missing there. Failure to discern the Lord's body. And scripture says that because many have not discerned the Lord's body, for this reason they are falling asleep. This is the position of the body because of the critical times we are as a nation. Then there is also somebody who is part of the body, but for a long time he's been thinking differently. Let me love him. And there's been something concluded in his heart. They don't know much as they should know. You know, I know somebody is in trouble, even ministers, pastors, workers, the moment I see that the person does not trust the method where he is. That is the express way to being lost. Now, I'm going to do certain things in church, because when God spoke the vision, he spoke it to me. And it is my duty to interpret it and execute it in the fear of the Lord with methods you may not understand, but you must trust if you are going to be building with me. The moment somebody doesn't trust it, he will have a scripture for not doing so, but he's on his way to the Lucifer fall. Now you will hear sometimes that this man of God has been serving God. He's just down with a kind of cancer you can't explain where. What happened? From the moment you have exposed the body to ridicule, there are demons you are exposed to. Many have died. Apostle Abraham was ministering one time and he said something. And I said, this is harsh. Let's be coming down. And the Holy Spirit asked me, is he lying? And what did he say? He said, I know many young ministers will die early. From where he's talking from, he's not cursing. He knows what he's saying. Why do we have many of the things we are having in the body of Christ? Because we have sellouts. People who are part of the body but don't trust the leadership where they are. When Tree of Life Church started, when we started as Friends of the World, I had sons that were the real heavyweight. Many of the people here know those I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those who are still sons or who are now having their own work or fire away. I'm talking about people who are lost now. If they open scriptures, I just sit back. You know, I hate casualties. But I'm just a man. I look back. I say to myself, what could have been done better? Do you know that there's a part of raising men that you know that if I rebuke this person sharply, this person will be lost. And yet, that is what you must do. Oh, you don't know. You should know. Because God has been warning this person for a long time through many situations and he will not obey. Many of them went with many strange doctrines. One of them brought somebody to my house to come and preach to me. And was whispering to the person outside. I said, go and meet him. Go and forget about it. Go and meet him. I didn't know it was me they were talking. When that one was preaching to me, I said, he's going to beat me. When he was done preaching, I just went outside and I went to meet my own spiritual son, who has brought somebody to come and preach the gospel to his father, who doesn't know the word. Let me tell you something. One thing I've seen that is common with people who fall away is that number one, they don't usually think that falling away is falling out of destiny. They think you are just part of many things that God is doing. Forget it. Nothing special about it. Number two, they have no respect for covenant. Some in the guise of valuing truth over covenant. Forget about us. I'm just loyal to the truth. You know, it sounds sweet on paper, but it is bitter in a life. Let me even warn all of you ahead. Now as things start, I notice that most of you girls, your heart is positioned that after you have gotten married, you have cut off of spiritual fathering. Be careful. Because when you go, I will release you. Without hesitation. And I will not say anything. I will warn you, but I will release you. It will never be in my record before God that I held anybody against their wish. Nah, no. I'm not going to do so. I owe you prayers. I owe you to tell you the truth. But what I'm saying here, sometimes you look at a church. There was a time the boy who was carrying Bible for my spiritual father before he missed that. We know him. You know, you know what I'm talking about. We know him. He was gone. He had roommates that they would be disputing what Papa was teaching and be bringing out the error and say, this is not sound, this is not this. Ah, we know he knows the Bible, but he does not know the exigencies. Ah. And after he was long gone, he was still carrying the Bible. And I will look and say, I was speaking with one of the stewards. We were on our way from Lagos. Last week, we're talking about this wave of wrong doctrine that blew in the body of Christ and all that. Ah. And he said, this even happened in the school. There were many students who were on scholarship. Their parents have no money to take them to that kind of school. But when the doctrine came, they began to say, what does Bishop Oyedepo know? When this thing comes, the light there is that makes you feel you are standing for the truth. But the deception is that you are breaking covenant, breaking destiny. You are walking into a trap and you do it with your intellect. Everyone who fell, felt very correct. Oh Lord, help us. Let me say this to you. Give me a chair. You know, all I can do is to teach you. And the moment I'm teaching or correcting somebody, and you just see, no, don't worry. You just sit down there and say, this man should be coming down. Well, give me a gun. What is the belief system? You are a soft-hearted person, a person of love. A love being. We are demons. Let me give you an instance. Friday prayer meeting, somebody came out among those I was to pray for. He's going to lay hands on him. I saw an incision on his head. 9, 3, 3, 3. As I laid hands on him, I saw a calabash spill with blood. He opened up. He was just being initiated into a cult group. And they asked him to go and kill somebody. He couldn't do it, so he ran. We're still talking now. At night, when I had a vision, and I saw the person with torchlights scouting around church and stealing things, I picked my phone immediately, 10 minutes to 1, and called the head of protocol. He didn't pick. He was in my house yesterday, and I said, that guy, this is what God showed me about him. And he said, it's true. He stole before he left. He stole somebody's phone. He stole the person's money. When you say you have a father, one of the very important things you need to find out is, when he looks at you, what does he see? But you don't care now because you know the Bible. You've gotten to the point where you don't even send anybody. Forget about those things. I know anywhere a fall is cooking up, one of the very common things you hear is, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. What we know now. How art thou fallen? I want you all to rise and pray. I'm going to give you 2 prayer points. Will you pray when I ask you to pray? Are you aware that prayer is like money you save in a bank? Huh? That speaks for you in the day you can't stand. Are you aware? First prayer point. Father, in all the ways that the devil is programming me for a fall, all the methods is using to program me for a fall, by your mercy, help me. Go ahead. These are not quiet prayers. These are not quiet prayers. In Jesus' mighty name. How many of you have seen times where some parents want to beat their children for something they have not done right? And neighbors will come and say, don't beat this child. And they will beg. And many times parents have devised means to first lock the door.
Because sometimes, it is not the one who is saving you from repercussions that love you. Sometimes the definition of love is tough. And when those child miss those seasons in their life, their ways become fixed. And at that point, no amount of rebuke can actually do anything again. Their ways just fixed. Moral lesson. Don't stand between God and anybody he's dealing with. Don't be their pity partner. Somebody is coming to come and report your pastor and say your pastor is doing this, your pastor is doing that. I say, me too, I've been watching them. You are a sellout. Oh, thank God for the gift of good children. A boy was asking a girl out. The girl spoke to me. I said, you know what, sir? I'm going to give him a yes this week. But she came back and called me. I said, I noticed something. I said, what's that? There's somebody rebuked him in church. And he was lamenting. That, does he know my age? He said, so I withdrew my answer. And I've come to report him. I held her hands. I said in my heart, oh, thank you, Lord. I called him. And I called the person who rebuked him. And I said, you said this. He said, yes, sir. Are you honest? And I said, Emoji, go and deal with him. But I can know that this guy will be safe. Because even if he falls, he can't fall below the level of that guy. There are many of you here, at the way you are thinking, it is very important that God of heaven must not trust you with a man who must not crash. Because you are like Jezebel, not because of the way you dress, he may not even use earring. But if he will fall, you are the fastest way for his fall. In fact, he will suggest it because you are more crafty. Oh my God. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you strongly here. Last prayer point. Father, I acknowledge that it is not every trap I can see. Help me to have victory, even in the days I can't trust your method. Now, please pray ahead and pray well. Help me. It is done. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I want to thank you for all these children and for your mighty hand that is strong upon their lives. Father, rescue them from themselves. Deliver them from the deceitfulness of their gifts. Deliver them from the deceitfulness of speed. Father, if there's anyone amongst these who already start thinking differently and are playing into the trap of the devil, help them. Rescue them. Every trap in the path of their thought, help them to see it. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. We declare today's service open to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame.
To partner with Flame, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries, UB.